I told you last week that this week the topic would be the New Testament, and I told you I would speak on it, but only part of that is true. The topic is the New Testament, but I'm not going to speak on it. I have asked someone else to help me out in this, and if you'll bear with me for just one moment, I left him downstairs, and I'm sure the kids have driven him nuts by now. I want to go get him and bring him back to speak to you on the New Testament. Give me 2 seconds, I'll be right back with a guest.
Shalom. Excuse my change. They put them on me when I go out to talk to people, the Romans do, but I've learned a long time ago how to get out of these, so I'll just take them off if you don't mind. Put them over here. Can everybody hear me back there in the back row? I have no use for contraptions such as these, and if you can't, it's your own fault for sitting back there. Well, my name is Saul of Tarsus, but you can call me Paul. And I was invited by a young man to talk to you on the New Testament. Big topic. And I have a reputation for being long-winded, too. Well, one time, I started at noon and went till after midnight. Spoke so long, some young fella sitting in a windowsill fell off and hit the floor. Caused quite a ruckus. Everything turned out okay, though. I wish you had asked the Paul up here. I'm not very good at speaking to large crowds. But I want to tell you, I understand last week you talked about the Old Testament. And then in the Old Testament, you learn God made himself known as God through the nation of Israel. Well, I'm a person of that nation. I'm a Jew. I'm a Hebrew. Anybody else out there Hebrew? No, didn't expect so. Anybody a son of Abraham? Oh, there we go. Man has spoken rightly. For the sons of Abraham are not those born of the flesh, but born of the Spirit. Well, anyway, I was a Jew, not just a plain Jew, but a Jew of the strictest denomination. Came from a family with some wealth, and at an early age they sent me off to Jerusalem to school. And there I studied under Gamaliel, one of the finest and most renowned teachers in Judaism of that entire day. He taught me the law. He taught me the prophets. He taught me poetry. I studied the Old Testament from cover to cover. And then on top of that, I studied commentaries and interpretations of the law. I knew every jot and every tittle. I knew every interpretation, every rabbi's views on every verse of the entire Old Testament. But more than that, I was zealous for God. After all my years of study, I earned the privilege to be called a Pharisee. Now, a Pharisee is what you might call a doctor of the law, doctor of religion. Well educated, intelligent, and a little bit arrogant. And I had a zeal for God. Such a zeal that I persecuted people such as yourselves. Persecuted them to the point of death. People who believed that a man was God. Heresy. Blasphemy to the Old Testament. Blasphemy to think a man would be God. And I chased these people all over Jerusalem. All over the nation of Israel. I received warrant for their arrest from the leaders of the law. And I sought them out and drug them into prison. Now, you must all think I'm false modesty when I call myself a chief of sinners. But I tell you it's not. If you compare me to a first century Ku Klux Klan, or such was my wrath and vindication against prison, with many an innocent blood on my hands, both men and women. Well, I changed. The Lord spoke to me and changed me. And I won't go into the details, but suffice it to say that he showed himself to me in a vision and showed me that he was the Messiah and showed me what things I must suffer for his name's sake. And ever since that day, I've preached Jesus Christ as Son of God and proving from the Old Testament that Christ is the Messiah, the chosen one of Israel. My ministry began primarily in the synagogue. Went from synagogue to synagogue, arguing and debating and proving with the Jews that Jesus is the Messiah. Funny thing was, the people most receptive to my message were the Gentiles. If you told me 40 years ago that my best friends were Romans and Greeks and barbarians, I would have rather died. But today, I would willingly postpone death if by any means I might encourage or help the Church of God. Well, those Gentiles, though, they are an ignorant bunch. They don't know God. They don't know the Old Testament. They don't know the Scriptures. Well, can't even expect them to remember Ezekiel 16, where God compares the nation of Israel to an abandoned child. You know, Ezekiel 16. Besides that, they speak different languages. They have different customs. They have different laws and different gods. And this is what God called them to do. Might have been much easier to speak to Jews, to stay in a synagogue, talk to Hebrews only. They have a common culture. But God had other plans. Plans that were held a mystery until now. As Hosea said, I will call those who are not my people, my people. And I will call her who is unloved, beloved. This is what God has done. God has called the Gentiles to be his people. How has he done this? He's done this by giving to each one of them through faith in Jesus Christ, the same Holy Spirit. The same Spirit, the same God, the same purpose. And he puts those people together in a community that he calls the church. Community of people who know the same Lord, who have the same faith, who have the common Spirit, capital F. Well, if that young man told you last week that the purpose of the Old Testament was to make God known as God through the nation of Israel, the similar purpose of the New Testament is to make Jesus Christ known as God through the church. And that's what you are, the church. And And that's what I am, too. Though a Jew, I'm a part of that same church. And in all my letters, there's one purpose. And that is to make it clear that all of you, all of us, are a part of one body. You think barbarians in themselves and Gentiles in themselves are a mess? Consider a church with Jews and Greeks and Romans and heathens and whatever else. Some people are vegetarians. Some people eat meat. Some people eat different kinds of meat. Some people eat rabbit meat. Some people eat pig. Some people have money. Some people are poor. Some people are educated. Some people can't read. Some people have two parents. Some people have one parent. Some have no parents. All these different people, God makes one body, the church. And that's important, because that's God's plan for today, the church. Each one of you is important individually, and each one of your faith is important to God individually. But He didn't save you to convert the world. He's not going to marry you in heaven. He's going to marry the church. If you have some gift, if you have some talent, if you have some means, the church is where God wants you to use it. There are many fine organizations. I've heard of this mission and that mission and this fellowship and that fellowship and this seminary and that seminary and this Bible college and that women's club and on and on. They do good things. They feel cold where we left gaps. But God's plan is that Christ be made known through the church. And that's you. Christ died for us. Christ loved us. And what did He say to us? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye have loved one for another. Look to the person sitting next to you, or behind you, since behind you, that's probably not your family. Look at that person. They are a member of the same church as you. Their skin may be different color. They may live in a different part of town, but they are part of your body. So, brethren, love one another. Encourage one another. Be at peace with one another. Be patient with all men. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice in everything. For this is God's will for you.
And now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.